much for having me. I am just humbled to be able to come. It's been a great blessing, and I want to thank the pastor for having me. I know that having a conference like this, when I guess this is your first one, it's a little bit scary, and I'm glad I could be here and be a part of it. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for all you've done for us. Thank you for the basket, the tithe, the other things that we received. You have just been so very kind to us. And thank you for your attention to the Scripture and for listening to the Word of God and letting God speak to you. I appreciate that so very much as well. And certainly be praying for you. Please pray for us. We will leave tomorrow, go down to visit her mother down to Florida. Likely have a meeting or two down there, and then head up to West Virginia for another missions conference and a couple of other churches, and then finish on the 30th at Commonwealth Baptist College. I'll be speaking there on the 30th, March 30th, and head back home. I'm home just less than 2 weeks, just one Sunday. We moved to Arkansas last week. Last Sunday, we joined the church over there. And so my daughter called this afternoon, and she said, people are saying, "Where are your parents?" I don't think they quite get it, you know. We told her, we said, look, you might as well fill them in. Let the pastor fill them in. I'm not going to be there. My pastor in Canada says I'm the perfect church member. I tithe, I get a faith promise, and I'm never there, you know, to cause any problems. So, but thank you very much for all you've done for us. And we will, is this the door to downstairs, right? All right, I just want you to watch yourselves when the college students head for the barbecue, you know, afterwards. Just be careful they don't run over you, okay? All right, good. Take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We will certainly be praying for you and praying for this church and this ministry. We have learned to love you this week and these few days, and it's just been a great time together. We have enjoyed it, and glad to have been here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to read the entire chapter. Yes, I'm going to preach the entire chapter, but I promise you I am as conscious as you are of time, and I will do my best to get through this. Let me tell you this. They're having missions conference at home in Bentonville or Rogers while we're here, and so the speaker there, he's about 80 years old or 84 years old. Pastor said to me in a text the other, he said he's a little bit long, which is a little bit hard for our new Christians. But he says he's really good. And so I was talking to my daughter about it, and she said her husband had taken one of the kids out to the washroom during the service, and another preacher was out there, an older preacher in the church. And he said to my son-in-law, he said, "That guy needs to be tranquilized." So hopefully that's not the case tonight. He was going an hour and a half or something like that, so he was a little bit long. And I'm trying to be conscious of that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, begin at verse 1. Therefore, as we have received this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus, also of Jesus, might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause, here's that phrase again, we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we confess we are tired tonight. We've been here every night, and we thank you for giving us grace and giving us strength to do this. But Father, we pray you'll help us to not faint. And Lord, there will be those who will make commitments this week or to giving to missions. There'll be those who, with whom you've spoken to about ministry, about doing something. And I pray, Lord, you'll help them not to faint. Lord, we thank you for the ministry that you've given all of us. Help us to fulfill it. In Christ's name, amen. We have received the ministry. Therefore, sing, we have this ministry. We have this ministry. And Brother Tran said this morning, he said, talked about being in full-time service, not everybody can be in full-time service. And actually what he means is not everybody's in paid service. We all should be in full-time service. We all should be serving the Lord full-time. We all should be in the ministry, involved in the ministry. And that's a wonderful thing. And as far as missions goes, the ministry of the church is missions, of course. And some will go, but all can pray and all can give. There's much to do to reach the ends of the earth. And I believe this passage of Scripture gives us several reasons we should fulfill our ministry to reach the ends of the earth and not faint. You'll notice that phrase in verse 1. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. Then you get over to verse 16. Is it found in verse 16? Again, yes. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And along the way, there are times, let's just be honest, we feel like just sort of taking some time off. Is that a good way of putting it? Just backing off a little bit. Just relaxing things a little bit. My friends, we can't do that. The reason we can't do that is because God's given us this ministry. Whatever your ministry is, God's given it to you. And we should fulfill this ministry, our ministry, for several reasons found in this passage of Scripture. First of all, because the Word of God demands it. Look at verse 2. The Bible says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. First of all, there needs to be an honest walk. We need to walk right. If we're going to be in the ministry, and if we're going to serve God, our walk has got to be what it ought to be. What's that saying? Your walk talks and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. And it does. We need to have a good testimony. We need to have an honest walk. Secondly, we need to have an honest word. Notice what it says there. It says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness. Secondly, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully. I've seen preachers just, and sadly, take their Bible and read a little text and close their Bible and go off on some tangent. Look, you need the Word of God. And that's what I've tried to do. You'll notice that in my preaching, I've simply stayed in a passage of Scripture and let the Bible speak for itself. You see, I'm not a real smart person. But I'll tell you what, I believe God is. And I believe the authority of the Scripture. And I can preach the Word of God with authority. I can't preach anything that I can say with authority, but I can preach the Word of God. Thirdly, there not only needs to be an honest walk, but an honest word, but also an honest witness. It says, manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Can we do that? Are we living a life that we ought to live? The Word of God demands that we fulfill our ministry. Secondly, Jesus Christ is the answer for our ministry. Look at verses 3 to 6. First of all, notice the necessity of Christ in verse 3. For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. I mean, that's the reason we do this. That's the reason we have a missions conference. That's the reason we send men like Brother Tran out to Reno, Nevada, to plant a church out there. That's why we need men to get out there and get it done. I mean, there's so much to do. They're lost. They need to hear the gospel. As I mentioned in chapel the other day, and some of you were not there, and I thought about preaching that message that I preached in chapel on Thursday here tonight, decided not to, but as I mentioned, between, if I remember correctly, 1950 to 1970, for every 1,000 churches in America, 1,400 were planted. Between 1970 and 1990, for every 1,000 churches in America, only 750 were planted. Between 1990 and 2010, for every 1,000 churches in America, only 250 were planted. That's a decrease of 10% a year for 60 years. Where are we going to be in the next 10 years? Who's going to reach these people that are lost? Who's going to reach them if we don't? Jesus Christ is the only answer. And the nature of Satan is, look at verse 4, in whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them, lest they believe, which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them. You don't have to look very far to see that. To see what Satan has done. We live in a society now where our neighbors, and I don't know about down here, but our neighbors say, well, whatever's good for you is good for you, and whatever I want to do is good for me. It's all good. No, it's not all good, but Satan's led them to believe that. They're blinded by that. And the only thing that can rescue them is the power of preaching. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We need preaching. We don't need entertainment in our churches. We need those who'll take the Word of God and preach the Bible. We're staying over in guest room 6 and found out today that maybe I should have been staying in that room, according to Brother Stevens. He was sick for 11 days, and he said to me, he said, now look, you're staying over at the college, well, whatever you do, be sure you don't stay in guest room 6. I said, really? He said, yes, and I was sick. I mean, I was sick for 11 days over there. Told me how much weight he lost. Yeah, that's right. And afterwards I said, well, that's where I'm staying, guest room 6. His wife said, oh, I'm sure they sanitized it. I hope so. I'll let you know. But on the wall over there, Brother Stevens, is that quote by Robert Murray McShane about preaching. I wrote that down. That's just great. Let's get our message from God. Let's get it from God. I'm going to get on the. I wasn't going to, but I'm going to get on this tangent. Okay. I am sick and tired of preachers who get their messages off the internet. A little louder, fellas. I'm going to do it again. I'm sick and tired of preachers who get their messages off the internet. Amen. Thank you. I mean word for word. Preacher told me the other day, he said, there are sites where they will send a message to your inbox and they advertise on there that your people will never know it. Let's get our message from God. That's where it needs to come from. Jesus Christ is our only answer for that. And Jesus Christ is the one who enlightens us. Look at this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is our responsibility to fulfill this mission. We cannot faint. We cannot faint. We should fulfill our ministry because servants are to complete it. Look at verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. Isn't that amazing? That God has allowed us to be used of Him, just earthen vessels. Why has God done that? So it can be all of Him and none of us. And when you take that faith promise card and you fill that thing out and you do what God wants you to do and you get to the end of the year and pastor says, let's have some testimonies, you can say, I'd like to tell the church what God did for us this year. Wasn't about me. Here's what God did. It's just earthen vessels that God can use, where the weak confounds the wives, according to 1 Corinthians 1, 25 to 29. It's all of God and none of self. That's the reason we have this. We have this ministry, and servants are to complete the ministry. We should fulfill our ministry also because dying to self accomplishes it. Look at verse 8 down through verse 12. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. As the video was showing tonight, you may not have caught it, but there were five of us men who started church planting schools around the country. We'd go into a church at our expense. We didn't charge. We didn't charge anything for it. We'd pay our expenses to get there and pay our expenses while we were there. And we'd hold church planting schools. And men would come out of those church planting schools planting churches. Just numbers of churches were planted out of those. I think we started in, 1999, 2001. We'd been going for two or three years, and they were really very successful. We'd hold three or four a year, and we'd just fit them into our ministries. And one of our men, one of our five, he was preaching, I believe, up in Virginia. And he began to lose composure in the pulpit. I don't remember whether it was that he began repeating himself or whatever. And they went home, and they found a brain tumor. 18 months he was gone. Another one of the men, he and his wife were in a very serious car accident. She was in a wheelchair for a long time. One of the other men lost his voice for 18 months. He could not preach. He could not talk. It's about that time that I had another bout with the bladder tumors. And then in December of that year, 2004, we lost our grandchild. And I mean, for 6 months, what took me 3 hours to do took me six. The fifth preacher said to me, we were talking on the phone. In fact, I'm going to see him next week. He said, you know, I almost hesitate to get out of bed. All four of you have been touched. All four of you have been touched. It wasn't but just maybe 6 months that his wife was diagnosed with breast cancer. She took the radiation or chemo. I'm not sure which it was. She got over it, so the preacher got over losing his voice, and so we decided, well, let's try it again. And the preacher whose wife had sick with breast cancer, he decided he was going to turn his church over to his son. And his son came home from mission field, and the church voted to bring his son on. And after that, he found out that his son was a Reformed theology. Had developed a Reformed theology, and he had to ask his son to leave. His son left and split his church right down the middle. He lost 50% of his people, 50% of his support of missions, 50% of the offerings for the church. He even lost his own daughter who played the piano. When you get out there, there are going to be times when you're going to feel like quitting. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. You see, the reason we need to finish this is because dying to self accomplishes it. Accomplishes the ministry. Students, listen to me. You got to die to self. You got to just say, none of that matters. You've got to hold things in this on this earth very, very lightly. It is our desire to magnify Christ. Look at verse 11. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. I haven't said a lot about my situation, but I wouldn't go back and change a thing with my cancer. I've had such opportunities to witness to people and share the gospel with them, and they have seen what God has done in our lives. I wouldn't change a thing. Because I would never have had those opportunities. When we sold our condo just a few weeks ago, I met the girl in the elevator, and I don't have time to tell the story, but she called me back, and I said, look, we're going to put it off to the fall. And that day I got a call from the neurologist who said, look, you need to go get these blood tests, and we want to get x-rays done of every bone in your body. And so I went on the internet to look at some of these things to find out what they were looking for, and they were looking for multiple myeloma, which is a killer cancer. I believe that I already found the pancreatic cancer. I haven't said anything about that, but I have a tumor in my pancreas as well. And I think some of this has been from the CT scans, the CT scan every 3 months for about 5 years now. And so I called her back. I said to my wife, I said, well, maybe we need to try to sell the condo now and get moved. You know, if this is coming our way, then we need to do that. So I called her back, and I said, well, things have changed a little bit. And she said, really? And I said, yeah. And I said, well, you don't know our situation, let me tell you. And I said, I have stage 4 cancer. And she was completely silent. She said, after a minute, she said, there's no way I could have known. I said, I know. I don't wear a C on my chest. You know, you just don't do that kind of thing. But we've had a wonderful opportunity through this experience of witnessing to her and for her to see what God has done in our lives. Look, it's worth it all. I wouldn't go back and change any of that. So that Jesus Christ might be manifest in this mortal flesh. And when God gives us a ministry and we go through difficulties, we have to fulfill that ministry, because dying to self accomplishes that. Look, please, number 5. Confidence in the resurrection preserves our ministry. Look at verse 13 and 14. And we, having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, and this is found in Psalm 116, verse 10, of the words of David, I believe, therefore I have spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. What a wonderful declaration that is, that we have this confidence in Christ. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and present us with you. What a wonderful confidence we have in this ministry that we have. We have this confidence. The reason we ought to be involved in the ministry and give to missions and go and do the things that we ought to do is because we have resurrection in Jesus Christ. How wonderful that is. And also God's glory is the goal of our ministry. Look at verse 15 and 16. And all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, yet though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The goal of our ministry is to bring glory to God. The goal for planting a church out there is bring glory for God. The goal of our missions program is to bring glory for God. And through that, the process is to share the abundant grace of God and the thanksgiving of many. And that's the reason we cannot faint. What we start, we have to finish. But you won't finish the ministry that God's given you if you're not renewed day by day. Look at that in verse 16. For which cause we faint not, yet though our outward man perish. Yet we get tired. I'll admit to you, I'm tired. I've got two or three things right now on my plate that I can't tell you about. that just are consuming me. The outward man gets tired, but I tell you, every day you get in the Word of God, you can be renewed day by day. Day by day. And I want you to notice, lastly, please, that our temporal sacrifices are light compared to it. Compared to the ministry, our temporal sacrifices are quite light. Look at these verses. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. People say to me all the time, how do you do it? How do you keep going? I mean, I've had people who have developed cancer, and they call and they say, I don't understand how you get through these things. Well, it's because I'm not looking at these things. I'm looking beyond these things. We have to have a right thinking. We're all going to go through tough times. But they are light. They are a light affliction. And they're but for a moment. But they work in us, for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. I have a message that I preach, lessons I've learned from cancer. And one of the lessons I've learned is this, that God has done in me to make me like the image of Christ. Romans 8, 28 and 29. I hesitate to quote them exactly because I'm afraid I'll miss something and I don't want to miss it, so I'm going to go back to it. But Romans 8, 28 and 29. We quote verse 28, but not 29 with it. 28 and 29 together say this. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We got that verse. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. And what God is doing in my life is to conform me to the image of Christ. Both of us. And I can honestly tell you, it's done exactly that. I was out in Colorado preaching a couple of years ago, and she said, you know, you preach here several times, this lady said to me, you preach here several times, but she said, you've never preached like you preach now. It's a light affliction. Not only a right thinking, but also a right perspective. Look at verse 18. While we look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. Where's your perspective today? When you take that faith promise card and put it in your hand, where's your perspective? If it's on things that are seen, you won't do what God wants you to do. But if it's on things that are not seen, the souls of men, that's when you can do what God wants you to do. When you hold light to the things of this world, and we have a right perspective and a right view, look at this. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Everything we've got is temporal. It's going to be gone in a flash. But the things we can't see are eternal. The souls of men and women. And it all depends on whether we're going to faint in the ministry. Are we going to faint? Or are we going to do what God wants us to do? That's the entire issue. What are we going to do with our ministry? The call is before us. And it all depends upon our desire to fulfill the will of God in our lives in serving Him. It depends on vision. What are you seeing? Are you seeing things that are seen or things that are not seen? Let's bow for prayer. Lord, thank You for Your